The Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Lord, open my mouth to speak your truth and our ears to hear it. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, dear friends. I'm back. And it's funny, the last time I preached was on John 3:16, and today our gospel lesson has that most cherished Bible verse of John 3:16. A gospel in the nutshell, for Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." This famous verse within a conversation with Jesus is with Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the middle of the night, very much like a small child would to their parents, if you will. He was a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council. And Nicodemus was a man of significance, and he would be recognized by many, many people. He doesn't want to risk being seen in the light of day, and so he comes to Jesus at night, and they enter into a theological discussion. And I would love to be a part of that discussion one of these days. Well, Nicodemus then acknowledges Jesus as a wise teacher, inspired by God. But then Jesus mentions to be born again of the Spirit. And we hear Nicodemus fails to understand. How can a grown person re-enter their mother's womb? Jesus reminds him of an incident from their people's past, Moses and the Israelites wandering in the wilderness. God had been providing for all of Israel's needs, and they're wandering in the wilderness. Manna fell from heaven. Quail were all over the Israelites' encampment that provided delicious meat. Moses struck a rock and fresh water spouted out for the people. But as time progressed, the Israelites became impatient and grumpy. They complained against God and Moses. And so, what a response God gives by sending poisonous snakes into the Israelites' camp. And they bit the people. And the snake crisis forced Israel to acknowledge their rebellious attitude and repent. The snake crisis forced them to acknowledge something deep within themselves. So God instructs Moses to fabricate a serpent out of bronze, elevating it on a pole so that everyone could see it. Whenever someone was bitten by these poisonous snakes, they would look on this bronze serpent and were made well. Ironically, the Israelites are instructed to look at the very image that was killing them to be saved. It forced them to come to terms with the poison that was in them, not of the poison that the snakes gave, but the poison of their faithlessness and self-centered lives. In other words, they must be confronted with their sinful nature. Jesus tells Nicodemus that the same thing is going to occur to him. Jesus will be lifted up, and whoever looks upon him will live. Although Jesus doesn't mention the cross per se, we as Christians understand Jesus is pointing to his crucifixion. Crucifixion was intended to humiliate and torture the one being crucified, and at the same time it intimidated the rest of the population to be in submission and act of goodwill. It intimidated the people. It was not uncommon for the roads leading to Rome to be lined with hundreds of criminals who were crucified. The people looked at these people on the cross and cowered in fear. Jesus tells Nicodemus this, that just like the bronze serpent became the means of Israelite salvation, he was going to become the agency of God's plan for salvation for all. Surprisingly, as the world lifts their eyes to witness the act of Jesus' humiliating and torturous death, they see the means of their own salvation. And again, Jesus summarizes what's happening with this famous verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This brief two verses summarizes our gospel message of our Christian faith. In viewing Jesus' crucifixion, we see the great depth of God's love. As Jesus is lifted on the cross, the full magnitude of God's love shows the whole entire world is encompassed in it. A love that is overwhelming, a love that is hard for us to understand. And this divine love becomes the reality in the person of Jesus. Through him taking on human flesh and approaching the cross, Jesus was willing to forfeit his life for you, for me, and for all people. Jesus invites Nicodemus and us to believe in him with an abiding trust. This belief is more than an intellectual acknowledgement, but a deep-seated trust in the power of his love that supports us in all of our life's journey. Jesus calls us to rest with him in the same confidence that a child will have in their parent, or grandparent, or aunt, or uncle, any loved adult, mind you. And we may ask, why should we completely trust and rely on Jesus? We can watch the news, we can read the news, we can see it on our phone, and this might be a common question to ask with all the ugh in the world. Jesus points to the highest expression of divine love, his cross. Only there can we see the full measure of the love that God has and sent to dwell with us. It is a proof that nothing is and has been withheld for us. In the cross, we see a love that is expansive as the entire world in all times and places. This love encompasses all that God has made, all that God has made, and what God continues to make. As Christ is lifted on the cross, this great divine love comes into focus for us. And there we see a love and trust that will not let us go. So, dear friends, let this love define you. Easier said than done, because perhaps the world is sending you a message that you are not worthy of love. Maybe you're quaking under the overwhelming sense that you do not measure up. I ask you, who and what are you to believe? These other voices? Where are you to place your trust? Listen to Jesus' answer to Nicodemus. You look to the cross. It is the sign of God's love for you and for all people. Let this love of God through Jesus Christ remind you that you are his and hers beloved. Amen.